Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now with details on how the Army plans to rebalance its workforce. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, first of all, what exactly does Odierno have in mind, and what is he talking about when he talks about the institutional Army?
Well, he means the uniformed men and women going back to doing traditional jobs done by service members. Now, General Odierno says during the last decade, during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, most contractor civilian employees were moved into those positions, and he says that created an imbalance that now needs to be fixed.
What we've had to do, because again, we've had lots of contractors, we've had more DA civilians in our institutional army, we want to keep some of that capacity and unique capability, but I got to invest more uniform personnel back in, senior non-commissioned officers and officers back into our training pipeline, back into our doctrine pipeline, and it's important that we do this. Because for me, they will be the engine that drives us as we continue to adjust, whether it be leader development programs, doctrine writing, developing new concepts, and we got to have the right people there. It also allows me to keep some people there that if I have to expand the Army in the future, I have a basis of leadership that would allow me to expand the Army more quickly.
Now, Odierno spoke yesterday at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. He says the cuts to uniform personnel over the last year or so have been to the operational force because the institutional force already has seen reductions over the last 10 years. So now he says the reinvestment really is going to help the Army address its changing mission and responsibilities. Odierno says that the services are shifting from a more regional and to a more joint fighting force and away from the more typical approach it has used over the last 30 or 40 years. Now, in fact, the Army just released new doctrine, and this is the first time it has done an extensive update and rollout in recent memory. Odierno says that it represents lessons learned from Iraq and Afghanistan and other theaters and how it's going to apply toward the future.
All right, Jason, so what are the Army's plans? Did he give hard numbers on who he's going to reduce both sides?
He was a little light on those hard numbers and percentages, but he says the impact on civilians and contractors will mean fewer of them, but they still will play a key role. He was very quick to point that out because he was in an audience of contractors and people who follow this stuff from an industry perspective because they're going to bring capabilities that the Army doesn't necessarily have. Now, Odierno says that the training and doctrine command is leading this effort to rebalance the workforce. Now, in the meantime, the Army is facing budget cuts and wants to trim its active duty numbers to about 490,000 active soldiers from 570,000 soldiers. Odierno describes how some of the reductions will work.
By doing it this way, we're able to do a large majority of it by natural attrition. And we are not going to have voluntary separation. We're going to choose who leaves the Army. And we have several vehicles that will do that. And we've done very well in the first year of this. I'm very pleased with the results that we've had in terms of sustaining the best. For the first time, not every soldier who wanted to stay in was able to stay in, but we did it based on commander's input. The commanders made the decision on who was going to stay. And that's the kind of programs that we're going to continue to have as we go forward. So we're going to decide who leaves and who goes based on their past performance and future potential.
Now, I caught up with General Odierno after the event to ask him more about this force reduction effort. He says there's going to be some soldiers that are just not meeting the standards of the Army, and they will leave.
As we get down the road here, probably about 20% or so will have to be reduced through boards and things based on quality. And so we'll put boards together and do assessments of files and assessment of performance and future potential, and then we'll have to make some decision along those lines. We started to do that with some senior non-commissioned officers this year. We had a qualitative management board that asked some senior NCOs to retire. That helps. We have some overstrength MOSs that we went through and said, either got to change your MOS to one or you're going to have to leave. We do things like that. And those are the kind of things that we'll continue to do, but it'll be qualitative based.
Now, Odierno says the civilian workers for the Army will rely on a similar approach to that of the uniformed employees.
What we're trying to do is get that in an organized way where we're making the right decisions. So we are going to have a reduction in civilians, but we want it to be the right reduction that allows us to make sure we've reduced it in the right way and we haven't left any holes in the force as we go through this over time.
What's the percentage yet on reductions of civilians?
We're still working our way through that.
And we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So, Jason, for those employees that are going to stay in the Army, how is the Army going to make sure they're prepared to support it in the future, no matter what happens.
And I think that's the other piece of this entire workforce issue, how the Army is going to continue to develop its leaders. Now, Secretary John McHugh signed off a memo in September requiring what they call a total force approach to do several things, including training standards, the idea to ensure that there's standards around qualification and professional development that's going to be the same for active and reserve personnel. We have a link to that memo on federalnewsradio.com. Now, Odierno says the Army has to develop leaders who can adapt easily. He says no one really knows what the future missions will look like for the Army, so the Army then has to prepare for its leaders, you know, starting at private level all the way up to the commissioned officers, to understand and operate in new and complex environments.
How we've done training over the last 5 or 6 years, in my mind, doesn't at all replicate how we're going to do training in the future. Because we were training for very specific missions. We were training for responsiveness to our mission in Iraq, our mission in Afghanistan. We now need to go back and start training using virtual, constructive, and live capabilities in order to develop our Army to do initially some combined arms maneuver and then some additional capabilities that allows them to be regionally capable. We don't know how much that's going to cost because we haven't done it in so long. And I think we've developed some systems along the line that allow us to do it more efficiently. We're conducting some pilots right now, Fort Hood, Texas, that will take a look at what this means. And it's comparing readiness. So it's not just about training being more efficient. It's about the result of the training. Is it just as effective?
Now, Odierno also wants to adjust training centers to be more efficient and capable in developing the forces. Now, he says the Army has an opportunity now to impact the future over the next 4 or 5 years to prepare the service and its soldiers and employees for decades down the road. And, in fact, the Army has taken the brunt of DOD's budget reductions in 2013. He threw out a number, a percentage, 58% of the total number that's being reduced across DOD has been put on the Army. Well, for instance, 7% has been put on the Navy. We're not talking about 58% of their total budget, just of the total amount, something like $380 billion, 58% of that has come from the Army. And so he says shaping the force of the future will be much more important, seeing the budget that is going to reduce, whether Congress, you know, there's sequestration or not.